You're listening to The Digital Entrepreneur, the show for folks who want to discover smarter ways to create and sell profitable digital goods and services. This podcast is a production of Digital Commerce Institute, the place to be for digital entrepreneurs. DCI features an in-depth, ongoing instructional academy, plus a live education and networking summit, where entrepreneurs from across the globe meet in person. For more information, go to rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce. That's rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce.
And welcome back to The Digital Entrepreneur. This is episode number 19 of The Digital Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Jared Morris, the VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital. And today I am joined by a colleague of mine here at Rainmaker Digital, Pamela Wilson, our esteemed Executive Vice President of Educational Content. And there are a couple of reasons why I asked Pamela to join us this week and why I'm so excited that she said yes. And here are those reasons. One is that Pamela is leading our authority educational content at Rainmaker Digital, and she has spearheaded some initiatives to grow it and make it better, and I have some questions I want to ask her about those initiatives. And number two, Pamela is going to be a featured speaker at Digital Commerce Summit, which is coming up this October in Denver, Colorado. And her session will be titled How to Cultivate a Profitable Interactive Membership Site. So in addition to what she's been doing with authority, I want to get some of Pamela's general ideas on what it takes to build a membership site that provides value and drives profits, because I know that many of you are working toward that goal right now. And it, by the way, if you don't have your ticket yet to Digital Commerce Summit, I do hope that you'll consider joining us in the Rockies this fall. Early bird tickets are still available, so you're definitely not too late. Don't worry about that. You're not too late. You can still get a great price on a ticket. Pamela is going to be speaking, as I said. I will be speaking there. And of course, Brian Clark and Sonia Simone will be speaking as well. They've been guests on the last two episodes of The Digital Entrepreneur, along with a host of our friends from around the digital entrepreneurship space, including Rand Fishkin, Jeff Walker, Tara Gentile, Joanna Penn, Chris Lemma, and many, many, many more. This is the conference and networking event where you will discover smarter ways to create and sell profitable digital products and services. So don't miss it. For more information, go to rainmaker.fm/summit. That is rainmaker.fm/summit. And with that, I would like to welcome Pamela Wilson to the show. Pamela, thank you again for carving out the time to join us on this week's episode.
I'm so happy to be here, and I love this topic. So it's a fun thing to talk about.
It's a good one. And like I said, you know, you have a lot of experience to talk about this, which is why I'm so excited to have you here as the person to share some experience and share some knowledge with the audience. So, and let's start there, because you have really extensive experience in online education dating back to well before you joined the Rainmaker Digital team. Can you give us just kind of a brief overview of what you were doing prior to joining Rainmaker, which was then at the time Copyblogger, and how that informed the work that you're doing now?
Right. So I'm sitting over here trying really hard not to laugh at that introduction, because I guess I have extensive experience, but I want to share this with people because this might be something they can relate to a little bit more. I actually always wanted to be a teacher. When I was growing up, I wanted to be a teacher. My grandmother had been a teacher, and I was in FTA in high school, which is Future Teachers of America. So this was like my dream.
That is not a surprising revelation at all.
Well, okay, so that's not surprising, but the interesting thing is my mother actually discouraged me from becoming a teacher.
Really?
Well, she saw that I had always been creative growing up, and she really encouraged me to go into a creative career, which I did. I mean, that was my entire career. I worked as a designer and a marketing consultant for decades, really. And then after doing that for decades, I started to get kind of antsy, like I wanted to do something else. And I started looking into building an online platform and teaching online. So I ended up moving into that. So I guess I kind of showed my mom, you know, like, I showed you, Mom. I eventually ended up doing the thing that I had dreamed of, but...
Well, and you know what's so interesting about that is, you know, you kind of find that a lot when you look around and you look at successful people, and maybe, you know, they've been successful successful in business or something in digital entrepreneurship, but so many people have kind of brought a passion from their childhood and found a way to weave it in there. You know, it's like you have found a way to combine your creativity and your business acumen with the ability to teach, which is great. It's like I grew up as a huge IU basketball fan, and now I've found a way with the skills that I've learned building membership communities and a podcast to bring that passion back into it. It's kind of funny how those things will naturally kind of just start to come back. It's very interesting.
And I mean, honestly, I think that's one of the most beautiful things that the internet offers us is we really can explore those passions in a place that allows it. And we can find other people that have the same passion. So it's a great way to connect with people who have those same kind of geeky interests that we do, you know? Because you get to draw from all of humanity. Anyone who's connected to the internet can find you. So it's pretty amazing. So I ended up looking into how to do this. And right around the time that I was looking for how to build this online platform, I found Copyblogger, which that was like 2009. So it's not like Copyblogger had been hiding or anything, but I just happened to stumble on Copyblogger at the moment when I needed it, you know? So, and just a couple of weeks after I found the site, they were reopening Teaching Sells, which was like the seminal course on how to build online courses. So I signed up for that. And so my online teaching story is very much interwoven with Copyblogger's story and how Copyblogger teaches things. So I learned how to create online courses by taking that course and then built my big brand system site, built a course there to teach basically what I had learned to do in my career, but boiling it down so that people who didn't have a design background or didn't have marketing experience could understand it and apply it to their own businesses. And then once I did that, I created all of these smaller products. So I created a product called eBook Evolution, which helps people to create eBooks by themselves, PDF eBooks mostly, Site Setup Kit, which was to help people who had no web developer background build a website that they could control themselves, and then a product called Visual Buzz 101, which was basically to help non-designers create great-looking images for their web presence.
So, you know, what's interesting about that, so you had kind of this formal training with Teaching Sells of developing courses, and then you kind of got into it and went out and did it on your own. What I imagine from the experience of Teaching Sells, you know, you had a pretty good roadmap to follow. You kind of knew what to expect. But doing it for the first time with Big Brand System and doing it on your own, what were some of the things that surprised you about the experience?
Honestly, I mean, that's one of the coolest things about being part of this team now is that so much of our effort is focused on making the Rainmaker platform awesome. And the biggest surprise to me was how difficult at that time, this is back in 2010, how difficult it was to put together the technical pieces that I had to put together to create the membership site. I mean, it was, I felt like I was scaling Mount Everest. It was seriously way beyond my technical pay grade, you know, to put that together. So that was surprising to me. The course part, I mean, I felt like the education and Teaching Sells really helped to guide me so that I could put together education that was useful and effective and all of that. So that part was great. But then the technical piece was just kind of a nightmare. So it's very cool to be on the other side of that now and helping to contribute even in a small way to this product that just makes all of those things so much easier. I loved it though, that whole experience of building a community around something that you're teaching, I loved that.
Yeah. So speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about authority, because as I mentioned earlier, you know, you've been kind of leading our authority membership program, and I've been a really interested observer watching you kind of systematically and methodically make improvements over there. Can you provide an overview of where authority was when you got involved with it and what you've tried to do to take what was working and make it even better?
Right. So Sonia and I worked together to come up with this plan. We wanted to kind of inject new energy into this program. It was already a solid program, but it had been around for a while. So this is, you know, this is one of the interesting things is a membership site at the very beginning of its life cycle is one thing. And then after it's been around for a while, it has like a different set of challenges, right? So some of it is just making the information easy to consume and making it easier for people to get their way through all the information. Because after it's been around for a while, you have a lot of information and people's first reaction is they get in there and they're like, I don't know where to start, you know? So it was that, but it was also encouraging people to consume the information. I was looking for ways that we could involve the community more, and I'll talk about how we did that. And then I was also looking for ways to just kind of simplify the process, the production process on our end, and make it a little bit more predictable. So well, and that's kind of how I came to this idea that I'm going to be talking about at the summit, which is finding this sweet spot in between your efforts and your profits.
Yeah. So how do you do, you know, you mentioned kind of some of these challenges of an older membership site that's been around a while. It doesn't maybe have that kind of new car smell and feel, right. You know, but you know, it's like anything else, you know, you can look at that and there are challenges there, but you can also flip it around and you can say, okay, but what does this make possible? You know,
exactly.
You know, there are some challenges, but how did you then, you know, kind of overcome those challenges building upon what was already there?
Right. So one of the things was to just encourage community. So I did some, and these are all such small things, but one thing was in our weekly webinar. So we have a webinar, a live webinar every single Friday. And one thing that I'm doing on a lot of those webinars is I incorporate shout outs to people who have posted in the forum and might have a question. And that just helps people to know what's going on in their community and maybe drives them into the forum to participate a little bit more. So that was one thing. Another thing is just to develop content that kind of highlights our members and what they're doing and what their challenges are, because so many people have very similar challenges. So I set up this schedule of webinars that we do, and it's basically the first week of the month is always the same kind of webinar. The second week is something else. The third week is something else. So it's a very consistent, I mean, you know me well enough. I like systems and processes. I'm really into that. And that, yeah. I found it made it more predictable for our members, but it also was easier. It was easier to create content for the program when I had these predetermined buckets that I had to fill, you know?
Yeah.
So what we're doing is the first week of the month, we have this masterclass educational session. And that is like no holds barred, pure education. We really put a lot of effort. You joined us, actually. You and Lauren Thompson joined us last month or earlier this month, I guess, for the educational session in June. But that's usually a very high level an in-depth educational session. We typically create like a downloadable worksheet or some kind of handout so that people can apply what they're learning to their own businesses. The second week of the month, we're calling it our ABC sessions, Authority Business Coaching. And we invite people to apply to be on these sessions. And then when they are with us live, we do all sorts of things. We look at their websites. We talk about their marketing efforts. We talk about how they could build an email list. We talk about also what's working, because a lot of people have things that are working really well. So it's a matter of building on their strengths. And that ends up being almost like a private coaching session that others can watch and benefit from. And because so many of us are dealing with the same kinds of business challenges, people have loved those sessions. And we're so grateful for the people who volunteer to basically put their businesses out there and get coaching live. They seem to benefit from it, but then the people watching benefit as well. So those have been a lot of fun. Then we have always done a live Q&A session every month. And we're continuing with those. And we like to call those mini coaching sessions because it's an opportunity for people to ask a question directly of staff members from Rainmaker Digital, who are the people kind of manning those sessions. Sonia and I do a lot of them, but I invite special guests in too. And then we do this behind the scenes session at the end of the month, which is basically highlighting a member who has had some success in some area. Mm-hmm. So we have all sorts of different members with all sorts of different businesses. So they might have a product launch that went really well and they want to talk about that, or they did something for their email marketing that just made their list grow like crazy. So they talk about that. It's just an opportunity to sort of highlight members who have figured something out and they want to share it with the rest of the membership. So those have also been popular. Basically 50% of our content is highlighting a member of the community inside Authority. And that has been so much fun. It has really helped me to get to know our membership better. And I think members have enjoyed just getting to know one another's businesses and learning.
Yeah. I mean, it creates community. It puts people into a spotlight, which people like. And you know, like you said, with the coaching opportunities, the one-on-ones, you know, that's a great way to provide really significant, specific one-on-one value to folks, but also value that others can learn from. Because those Q&As, even if you don't have a question answered, a lot of times it can be really valuable. And, you know, we're not going through all of the things inside of Authority here as kind of a commercial for Authority. It's really more to let you see some of these options, right, that we're doing. Because for anybody who's listening to this who has their own membership site or is thinking about doing it, these are all ideas that you can incorporate into your own. Now, the challenge, of course, is that it's not easy to do this. And I'm sure, Pamela, as people heard you talking about, you know, doing this every week and this every week and this every week, it can sound a little bit like this intimidating machine that just needs to kind of constantly be fed. And this is where I want to transition into your talk at Digital Commerce Summit, because you're going to kind of be talking about this, because obviously you can't just spend 24 hours of every single day creating new membership content. I mean, that'd be perfect and you'd create, I guess, more value. But the goal, right, is, you know, for gathering a community around you to teach and to make money doing so, as you said earlier, is finding that elusive sweet spot between effort and income. So
right.
How do we find that sweet spot, and how do you do all of this, you know, inside of Authority and still make sure that it is a profitable use on your time that's getting a good return on the investment?
Right. Well, and again, that's where approaching this as rather than something that you have to just keep doing week after week and month after month, I actually find it very freeing to have created these, I like to call them like content buckets. I know it's a very technical term, but it's like content buckets. Like, you know, the first week of the month, you're not starting from scratch. You know what you need to put together. And the second week of the month, you know what you need to put together. And frankly, you know, some of these sessions require a lot more time and preparation than others. So, for example, the educational session, I put a lot of time and effort into creating those. I want to make them really, really high value. We want them all to be high value. But for example, for a Q&A, all I really have to do is to look through the questions. Sometimes I do some minor research on things I want to recommend to people, but there's not as much prep time. So having this schedule and this system in place really helps you to pace yourself as you're creating content for your membership program. And that's where that sweet spot comes into play, because you do have to find this place where the time and the money that you're pouring into your membership program is balanced by your profit, which, you know, profit is earnings after you pay all your expenses, right? So you have to make sure that any money that you're spending to keep your membership program alive is balanced with the effort and the time you're putting into it. And, you kind of have to do the equation and make sure it's all worth it.
And obviously a big part of tracking that is knowing your numbers. I mean, literally having those numbers there. Are there any Are there any other kind of warning signs that you might be able to shed some light on that maybe hint at the fact that this is a little bit out of balance? Anything that you've found? I mean, outside of just literally tracking the numbers?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think people have to be willing to do the hard math of saying, how much time am I pouring into this? How much am I earning from it? And how much does that end up, you know, giving me per hour, for example? I think as content creators, a lot of us get really caught up in the content creation process. And sometimes we don't step back and say, how many hours am I actually pouring into this? And how much profit am I actually seeing? And it can be hard to do that because sometimes you don't like the answer, but it's always better to know the answer and to just say, okay, you know, obviously I need to make some adjustments here and I'll just make them. As much as possible, I love the idea of trying to systematize your content creation for any kind of a program, membership program, any kind of a teaching product. You want to try to systematize it as much as possible. And if you own your own business, you always want to look for things that you could hand over to someone who you don't have to pay as much as what your time is worth. Yeah. So look for an assistant type person, a virtual assistant, or, you know, some people use college students who are trying to get experience and they pay them a paid internship and they're able to do some things that are important, but, you know, maybe can be taught and passed over to someone else. Once you give them a process. So, you know, like any good business owner, you do have to look for ways to do that, that keep your expenses down and then free up your time so that you can focus on the more high level stuff.
Do you actually track your time?
Well, I don't track my time now. I used to, though. When I was running my own business, I did. I would track my own time. When I was working for clients, obviously, I would track time for them. I never charged by the hour. I always charged by the project price, but I always track my time because I just wanted to see. It's like, this is what I estimated this project would take me to do. How long did it actually take? And that made me much more accurate over time when I went to estimate projects.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did that as a habit.
It's interesting. I hosted a case study inside of Digital Commerce Academy yesterday with Andrea Vall, someone that you know very well. Mm-hmm. And she was telling the story of these two different campaigns she did, because she's obviously very big on testing, which is a smart thing to do. And so she, you know, kind of had this campaign in February, this launch campaign, and she's going over these different variables and different results for how many people opted in and different, you know, lead magnets that she had and all these different things. And one of the things that she tracked to see how successful this was time. And for instance, the first campaign took her 15 hours and the second campaign took her, I think, 7 hours. And that was all kind of factored into, okay, how successful was this? And it was kind of eye-opening for me because, you know, we track lots of different variables like, you know, cost, you know, per click and like, you know, and all these other different things and you know, trying to, you know, compare the revenue from one to the revenue of the other. And I think we kind of, you know, in our heads, like we understand that, you know, we want this to take a little bit less time. But when you actually put the time there, like you see the hours that it took, it was really, I hadn't thought about doing that, but I'm actually considering starting to do that now for myself, just to track the time and see, okay, how much is this really taking me? You know, what am I getting out of this? You know, I've never wanted to do it because it just seems a little bit annoying. And maybe not do it forever, but to do it for 6 months just to kind of see and get a gauge, I think it really could be useful and helpful.
It's kind of like people who are dieting and they keep a food log, you know?
Yes.
They log every single bite that goes in their mouths and sometimes it's very eye-opening. It's like, oh, or like you start wearing a Fitbit and you're like, oh gosh, maybe the reason I'm not very in shape is because I'm only walking like 1,700 steps every day, you know?
You know, the funny thing about that is I've lost maybe like 11, 12 pounds in the last like 3 months. And a big part of it is because I started tracking my calories. And when you can actually see it, it does. It helps you eat less because you're like, whoa, I've already had that much today. Okay, let me back off a little bit at dinner.
Yeah. You know? It's like knowledge is power,
it
right?
It really is.
Yeah, that is an old habit from having owned my own business for many years. And, you know, one of the things that you realize is you are one person and you only have 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
And you can't manufacture more time for yourself. So you start to become very efficient at using your time and then taking the things that you have to get done and finding possibly people who can do them more efficiently so that you can focus on things that other people cannot do. So it's just, it's an old habit, you know, but it's yeah. I think it's a good one.
So Pamela, for the digital entrepreneur who's out there right now, who's listening to this episode and who is considering going down the road of building an educational membership site, they haven't yet, but they're thinking about it. What's the biggest piece of advice that you would give that person about how to get started?
I mean, I think the biggest thing when you're starting out a membership site is there is this feeling like, okay, I'm getting on this hamster wheel and I can't ever get off, right? I just have to keep creating content for my membership program. I mean, depending on how you structure it, it might be a membership program that doesn't have ongoing content. But either way, there's this feeling like you have a tremendous amount of work ahead of you. And I would say anything that you can do to simplify your processes and set up systems from the very beginning, you will be very happy to have those things in place. So just look at all of the tasks you have going on and see if there are things where you could bring in someone to help you with them. See if there are ways that you can create, like I said, content buckets, like consistent content that you create week after week so you're not starting from scratch. And find ways to maybe have some weeks that are, you know, take more time and effort, and some weeks where it doesn't take as much. You're still delivering the value, but maybe it doesn't take quite as much time and effort to produce. Because, you know, even hamsters have to take a break once in a while, right?
So and how about for the digital entrepreneur who already has a membership site and wants to iterate it and take it to the next level? What's the biggest piece of advice that you would give to that person?
Yeah, I would say, again, if you don't have systems in place, getting them in place and finding ways to make your job easier is going to help you just keep your momentum and your enthusiasm going over the long haul. And then there are, and I'll share this link with you, there are interesting problems that happen after you do have quite a bit of content on a membership site. And Debbie Hodge actually wrote about that for us on Copyblogger, about how what you can do to sort of organize your content to make it easier to get through and easier to find and things like that. So that's, I'll share that post with you. That's a fantastic resource. Those are the problems you have once you have a membership site that's been around for a while and you have a lot of content.
Perfect. Well, you will be able to find those in the show notes. Pamela, thank you so much. This was wonderful. We really appreciate your insight. And I know I am looking forward to seeing you speak at Digital Commerce Summit. It'll be a good one.
I think it's going to be so much fun. I can't wait to be there.
It is. It's going to be great. And we hope that you will join us. Again, the conference is October 13th and 14th in Denver, Colorado. For more information, go to rainmaker.fm/summit. There are still early bird tickets. And as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be a great event. It's the place where you will discover smarter ways to create and sell digital, profitable digital goods and services. So maybe you have a digital product or service and you want to take it to the next level, or maybe you've been thinking about it. You've been thinking about getting started. This conference will be great for you as well. Rainmaker.fm/summit. We hope to see you there. And we hope to see you on the next episode of The Digital Entrepreneur, which will be here next week. Until then, take care, everybody.